right, what a real joy it is to be in the house of the Lord tonight and to be with God's people and to be around God's Word. I thank the Lord for the Word of God. There was a time when I thought everybody that had anything to do with it was absolutely crippled too high for crutches. I thought they're as crazy as a bat. Then I got hooked up with the Lord and He got hooked up with me and He hooked me up in His Word and I found out that those people wasn't nearly as crazy as I was without the Word. Now I am glad to be here and glad to be a part of what you're doing and glad to be associated with you who are doing it here. I love and appreciate preachers and I want to welcome again all of those who took time out to come. There's a lot of laid-back, relaxing things you could be doing on Monday evening, but you have chosen the better part. I said the better part. There's no television program that is going to feed your soul like God's program will. And I appreciate you taking time to come and be with us. There's probably a lot of meetings going on that are good ones. But you chose to be here, and I'm honored that you came. I want to say something to the church also. I am grateful for you standing with your convictions and believing God's Word not just when it's high, but when sickness moves in and sorrow moves in and hardship comes, you stay with what you said you believed when it was high as a kite. It doesn't take much of a Christian to fly sky high. I mean when it's on. And when the Lord's blessing. And when revival's about nose deep. You just having a time. Don't take much of a believer to enjoy the greatness of God. But I'll tell you what. When it comes to the gloom of God. And God does minister on the gloomy side of life. And I'll tell you, if you don't get enough on the glory side to make you the kind of Christian you ought to be on the gloomy side, then you better spend a little more time on the glory side and get ready for the gloom. You've stood with your preacher. You've stayed true blue. And I know some of you probably have had all kinds of thoughts and ideologies and all kinds of attitudes and all kinds of remarks. I know Baptist people. I don't know much about Catholicism. I don't know much about Mormonism, but I know something about you people. Amen. I know a Baptist church. Don't look at the floor. Everything's all right up here. Amen. And I'm sure glad and thankful that you've stuck by the stuff and stayed in there when it was questionable and when it was uncertain and when you didn't know what the Lord was going to do next, you just believed Him. And I bless the name of God tonight for that. I want you, if you will please, to take your Bible and turn to a portion of Scripture that is unfamiliar to me, but it just keeps tap dancing on my heart all day. I want you to look at 2 Samuel chapter 6. And I want you to look at the first 15 verses. I won't read them. The ones that we'll preach out of, I'll just take them and lift them out as we go. And if you'll follow along with me, I'd appreciate it tremendously. While you're finding your place and getting settled for the Scripture, we set a tape table up out in the foyer as we always have and always do. If you're interested in cassette tapes or videos that'll encourage and inspire your heart, they're out there after the service. Diane and I, she's here. With my daughter and son-in-law, you folks stand, would you? I appreciate these folks. This is Diane on this end and Angela and Sam. I appreciate them. I thank the Lord for somebody that'll stay with you and stand by you when it's not convenient, when it's not comfortable. They stand right there with you and I rejoice and praise the Lord for them. Now, I want to read one verse. Would you stand with me, please, while I do so? And just very unfamiliar portion. No real homiletics in this tonight that would be customary to my style. But I just keep hearing this verse. And somebody in here, God's let you listen to it for at least today. Look at verse number 14. And I'm just going to lift 2 Samuel 6 and 14 out. And David danced before the Lord with all his might. If you're going to do anything before God, do it with all your heart. If you can't do it with all your heart, do it until you can, but don't quit till you do. David danced before the Lord with all of his might, and David was girded with a linen ephod. Let me read 15. So David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of the trumpet. Now if you can move on down in this scripture, you'll find out a woman is involved in the picture. Michael's standing up in the window when she sees David coming into the city of Jerusalem with the ark that has been taken from the Philistines. Placed into the house of Obed-Edom, and David hears that God is blessing everything there and everything around where that ark is. And so David goes down there at the anointing of God and gets the ark, brings it back to Jerusalem with a great fanfare and with great rejoicing. But up in the window peers two eyes out into the street, watching a man get happy. He has girded himself now to parts of his anatomy is before the Lord without covering. He has an ephod on. And she even said he danced before the maidens in the flesh. But you'll find out that she was looking out the window and she had a criticism of the man's rejoicing, and you know the story after that. She paid dearly for it. Verse 14, David danced before the Lord with all his heart, and David was girded with a linen ephod. You can have a seat. Thank you for standing. I want to preach on this subject, dancing by yourself. Dancing alone. I remember when I was a boy going to Teen Town. Does anybody ever who'll admit it? In a fundamental Baptist church, you went to Teen Town and was a part of the sock hop. So our entertainment used to be, we'd go down to the community center on Friday and Saturday night and dance to the Supremes or Elvis or some of that acid rock music. You know, ooh. I mean, there ain't nobody can do it like three black women. I've tried to book them for a meeting several times and they've been busy. I just want them to sing Baby Love one more time. If that bothers you, it will get worse as we travel. But I can remember going to Teen Town where they didn't need any security guards. Went to Teen Town where they didn't have to have police come in and lock everybody up for dope and alcohol. We just go down there and dance to the records, and they'd have adults down there supervising. And I never will forget this old boy who was as spastic and as nerdish as you could get. I mean, if you was cutting your hair one way with the fad, he'd butcher his another way just because that's the way he was. But I never will forget, he'd go to the dance and nobody wouldn't dance with him. He just danced by himself. He'd get out there right in the middle of the floor. Bless the Lord, here he'd go. He'd just be twirling around and playing like he had somebody with him in the twirl. He was just that. We'd all dance around him, call him a nut, and keep on going. But you know something? He never cared. He showed up every week. He'd ask somebody to dance. They'd say no, and he'd dance by himself. I can still see him doing it when I tell that story. He danced alone. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you something. The Christian life will not always be an interstate full of friends. There will be a lot of times in the ministry of God that you'll find yourself dancing by yourself. You'll find those times of loneliness, and you'll find those times of abandonment. Not from the Lord, but from the Lord's people. And many times it'll be from the feeling or from and away from the emotions of God. You'll just have to decide that God is worth it. You will not have the amens or the hallelujahs to back you up. But you're saved enough to know that God is an all-sufficient help. There'll be times in your loneliness when nobody can reach you. There'll be times in your darkness when no light will come. There'll be times in your sickness when the fever will go up. But the friendships will plummet to the bottom. And you'll have to find it in your strength in God to keep on going. I'm talking to you tonight about the ministry of loneliness. And the ministry of dancing by yourself. Notice with me, if you will, in this portion of Scripture, the inspiration for his dancing. He was not dancing for nothing. Nobody else ought to either. He wasn't dancing without music. He wasn't dancing without reason. This man had an inspiration to dance, and the inspiration was in that ark of the covenant, which was the Word of God. I'm glad the psalmist said, "The entrance of thy Word giveth light." Thank God, I want to tell you, it'll give you life too. The Word of God will energize you. The Word of God will inspire you. The Word of God will resurrect you out of sadness into joy. The Word of God will be like a drink of wine to your soul. The Word of God was the reason he was dancing. He was dancing because it didn't matter if anybody came out of the window and danced with him. Some of you waiting for somebody to dance with you. Some of you waiting for the crowd to come around to your side. Some of you waiting for a congregation before you get happy. Why can't you just dance? Because God let the Word of God come into your presence. Oh, it's always wonderful if you got a crowd. But if you don't have a crowd, you ought to have an inspiration to dance. Hallelujah to God. I'm glad tonight. It's not by power nor by might, but it is by thy Spirit, saith the Lord. And this book is our inspiration for dancing. I went to a little old church on a Sunday morning, got so bad under conviction I left. I came back that Sunday night because I couldn't help it. I couldn't stay away. It was not something I had several choices in doing. I had to come back. You see, God had hooked me with the Word of God. He had dug into my soul and planted a seed. I'm not talking about a popular preacher. I'm not talking about a personality of evangelism. I'm not talking about a flashy reverend. I'm talking about the Holy Ghost dug a hole in the seed bed of my heart and dropped in the seed of conviction. I went to the house of God that night, and the man was preaching, and he was preaching, and he was preaching some more. He said, "Verily, verily, except a man be born again, he shall not inherit nor see the kingdom of God." God used that word to inspire my lifeless feet. He used that word to inspire my lifeless life. My life was going nowhere fast. I was without hope nor help. I had no strength nor no reason to go on. I contemplated every way to end it. I thought if I could find an easy exit door, I'd be glad to walk out of it. 21 years old and wore out with life. 21 years old, fed up with the whole shooting match. It's sad to be that young and to be that distorted and to be that distressed with life. But I had it. I was done with it. I'd been halfway around the world in the service, came back home and found my troubles had had little troubles, and little troubles was having more troubles, and my troubles were just piling up. But oh, that night when the Word of God, the Ark of the Covenant, began to infiltrate and began to soak into my soul, all of a sudden the inspiration of dance started getting down in my soul. I got up out of my seat and walked down an aisle and knelt down, and Jesus Christ, the inspiration of real joy, came into my heart and life. I've been saved for 32 years and I'm still dancing over the fact that God is my inspiration. I want to tell you something. Where this book is preached, people are going to get happy. Where this book is preached, people are going to have a little dance in them. Hello. I'm not talking about jitterbug. I'm not talking about the sock hop. I'm not talking about the twist. I'm not talking about the shag. I'm talking about the can't help it. I'm talking about where God, the God of glory. I'm talking about God, the great God of eternity. I'm talking about God, the dynamo of life, moves in your soul. Something in you is going to start moving. We was having church yesterday morning. We had some folks, as we always do, visiting. You don't have to give out visitors' cards. Look at their eyes. I had a Sunday school teacher come to me after church. After I'd changed my clothes, he came, knocked on the door, and said, I had a couple in my class this morning. When they left the class, they said they loved it. But about halfway through the service, they left. He said, do you want me to call them? I said, sure, call them. Call them. But will you tell me when they left? He said it was about the second time that Travis Hancock took his second lap around the auditorium. You was in the service. We're singing a song and the brother got a little dance in his feet. You say, I don't believe in it. I don't care. You must think I care. I didn't come up here for you to give an opinion of what God does for me. You must think I give two hoots. I've had a whole lot deader than you try to kill me. I want to tell you something. This is not for everybody. This is not for the general population. Everybody's never going to get happy over the word. But you preach it. There will be dancers in the congregation. Now, you ought not be dancing over your church membership nearly like you ought to over the covenant of God. You look into that Bible and find out you can't go to hell. You look in that Bible and find out you got a home somewhere sitting on the right or the left of Golden Street. I was sitting in church yesterday morning and they got to singing and I got to thinking how all my sins were gone. I got to thinking about the record is clear. I got to thinking though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. And all of a sudden, a little dance started in my soul. You say, I don't think you ought to act like that in church. Well, you better not think like that in church then. You start, some of you sing in the choir, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved. You ain't never gonna dance because you don't give a rip about what you sing. Hey. When it hits you that it is amazing. All of a sudden, you may kick your shoes off and act funny. I got no apologies to make about being in love with the Word of God enough that I am glad when it is around where I am. They'd been without it. The Philistines had had it. David went and got it. And he got to dancing over the fact that the Word of God was back. Thank you, Jesus. Now let me ask you a question. Do you find yourself one of the few that want to gird up? So it won't get in the way and just dance because the Word of God got to. Where would you have been had it not been for that verse we quoted on the wall down yonder? The spirit of a man shall sustain him in his day of infirmity. All over the walls at Emory, in every room he was in, we'd sit there and read it together. When he couldn't read it, when he'd go out on me because the morphine had kicked in, I'd sit there and read it to him, and Phyllis would read it to him, and he'd wake up and read it to himself. The spirit of a man will sustain him in his day of infirmity. I want to tell you something. That is the Word of God. And when you are dying by yourself, when you are dying alone, and when death has laid a firm grip on you and the grim reaper laughs at you laying in a bed, I'll tell you what, that word will become an inspiration. An inspiration of dance in your life. Hallelujah. I sure am glad for the Word. How many of you got a Bible with you and you're not ashamed of it? Grab it and lift it up. Lift it way up. I want you to shake it around in the house tonight. I want you to shake it around. There is a battle in this land over that book. I mean, the devil hates that book. I mean, there's a crowd in this country that wants to bury that book. I say, let's dance over the Bible. It's my inspiration of dance. It's back. It's in the street. God's presence was in that prophecy. God's power was in that prophecy. And David said, if I got to dance by myself, I got inspiration. Well, let me go on. Secondly, I'm bad hungry. I'm bad hungry. I would preach a while, but I'm hungry. We're going in a minute. Look not only at the inspiration, but I want you to look, if you will, please, at the interpretation of the dance. The interpretation of the dance. Look at verse 16. The Bible says this. And as the ark of the Lord came into the city of David, Michael, Saul's daughter, looked through a window and saw King David leaping, and dancing. You see, the more you dance, the more you want to do other things, because praising God leads to praising God. He's dancing and now he done gone to leaping. Don't look at me so religious. I'm reading to you the Bible you just held up. King James 16:11. Yeah. Amen. Notice what it says. And when Michael, Saul's daughter, looked through the window and saw David dancing and, And before the Lord, she despised him in her heart. And I want you to see she interpreted his dance. My dance is not for your interpretation.
Yeah. Come on now. Come on now.
My dance is for his inspiration.
Yes.
My happy hope is not for you to critique. It is not for you to criticize. I'm sure there's not anybody here tonight who's critical of happy. If you ever get any of it, you won't be. It's a marvel to me that they could put you on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire and give you all the answers, how that your personality would change from church to Hollywood. You'd develop a shout. Let them put you on Let's Make a Deal or Turn Vanna's Wheel.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden you, oh, I'm fixing to be rich. Well, let me say, tell you something. Woo, I am rich.
Yeah.
I ain't fixing to be nothing. This is a bad place to be sitting here and not liking this. So y'all better look like you do if you don't. All right? Pick up a little bit here. I used to get a little weary of these independent, premillennial, fundamental, temperamental Baptist preachers. They're all that. They're twice as bad as people they preach to. Say amen. You know it's true. Temperamental as they can be, wouldn't be there half the time if they didn't get paid. Jump all over you for missing one Sunday. Hello. I used to get all kind of bent out of shape when they would say, that brown boy, he ain't nothing but a lot of jumping and a hollering. Well, amen. I plead guilty. But I got a reason. I got a reason to dance. And you know, they'll look at you and say, we better not turn him loose on the platform. Dear Lord. Ain't no telling what he may say down there the other night at the meeting. I was in the restroom at 10 till 7, and there was two or three preachers in there, and I was in the stall with the door shut. They didn't know I was in there. Two of them wasn't even young enough to be away from their mama. And one of them was way too old and should have knew better. They got to commenting on what was fixing to happen. One of them said, have you ever heard Brown preach? And I'm quoting it now, just like it was said. He said, yeah, but he's so unpredictable. That's what he said. He said, ain't no telling where he may end up when it's over. I started to fly out of that stall and say, hey, man. But I couldn't get, I didn't want to jump out naked, amen. That would have given him something to talk about. But you know what people will do? They'll interpret your dance. They'll look at you and they'll view you and they'll watch you. And they'll judge what you do based, now listen, based on how they are living. I want to ask you something. Why did Michael say what she did? If you'll study that little story, you'll find out she was out with David because of how him and his daddy wasn't getting along. Unresolved conflicts will make you look at somebody else through your eyes. And you'll start judging their shout. And the real problem is you're mad because you ain't dancing. Come on, honey, talk to me. You know the worst thing to be around when you're sober is a drunk. If you ever get around somebody sipping on Jim Beam, you better get you some or get out of the place. Because there ain't nothing worse than a sober man having a drunk hang all over him.
I love you, and I just want to tell you, you're my friend. And have a drink with me. And you stand there, if you don't get off of me, I'm going to get you. Nothing worse than having somebody all into what they're doing, and you all out of what you can't do. That's the truth. I'm like that. I'll get up grumpy, go to church. Somebody will say, glory, preacher. I'll say, oh, shut up. I interpret their dance, you see. He don't mean it. If he got an ounce of sense, he knows this early in the morning ain't nobody that happy. Let's be careful of judging somebody else's. Let's be careful judging somebody else's. Amen. Let's be careful looking out our little narrow window, interpreting somebody else's dance, because maybe they got the word on the situation. I remember the night I got saved. I thought everybody in town would rejoice. Remember? I said, Diane, we're squalling and blowing our nose and and cleaning out ditches and running over the neighbor's dogs and cats, going to mama's house to tell her. We slide in the backyard. I get out. Diane jumps out. I go in. Mama's cooking eggs for daddy and biscuits. And I went in the back door and she said, hey, son. I said, hey, mama. She scrambled. She said, you hungry? I said, oh, no, I didn't come to eat. I come to tell you, me and Diane went to church tonight. She said, that's good. You want some biscuits? I said, no, my daddy's sitting over the table. I didn't even know he was in there. He's sitting over the table. She's scrambling them eggs. And I said, and we went down. She said, you went where? I said, we went down. That's all I knew. I didn't even say but an hour and 15 minutes. And I didn't know what had happened, really. I just knew I was dancing and couldn't help it. My sins were gone. My life was light. My heart was free. 21 years of hopeless death had rolled off of me. And my mama was more interested in scrambling eggs than she was dancing. And she said, you went down where? I said, we went down front. She said, what'd you do down there? I said, I went down there and that preacher took his Bible and read it to me. She said, what'd he read? I said, I only can remember one thing about one part of what he read, and he talked about being born again. And I knew I wasn't, and I bowed my head, and when I looked at him, he told me I was. And all of a sudden, he said I was born again. I was as happy as a fat pig in a good trough full of slop. And I'll never forget my daddy's reaction when I walked over to him and told him, Daddy, I went down. He said, I heard what you said, but I want to tell you one thing. You can go all you want to, but you keep that stuff away from here. It didn't take me long to figure out I was dancing alone. But I had the word. See, your dance will not quit as quick if you have the covenant as it will if you have something else. If you're dancing over an experience, or if you're dancing over a sermon, or if you're dancing over your membership, it can become a sinking ship. But I had found a reason to dance. My daddy later was saved. My mother later was saved. My daddy's looking over the banisters tonight, shouting the victory in glory land. My mother is sitting on the front pew where I pastor, and every time I preach, she sits and squalls over the fact that I found me a reason to dance. People will interpret your dance. They'll look out their little narrow frame. And they'll see you all girded up in the street. And by the way, David wasn't in his closet when he was dancing. King James 16:11 says street. You don't believe it near as much as you rave about it. So don't even look at me so religious. You want to believe what's convenient for you, but when it comes to getting public, you ain't going to be criticized. You'll come and listen to somebody who don't care. But you will not participate. Because you are a teenager in this church that has more class and culture than that. Well, God bless you. You go ahead and enjoy your culture and enjoy your class while I just dance a little while over the fact that Jesus saved my eternal soul from hell. Now, let me ask you a question. Have you quit dancing by yourself because of the interpretation of others? My name is tossed around here. Now, I really enjoy pastoring. I don't ever want to be an evangelist. I like pastoring because I have a place to go back to and they don't fire you. But as an evangelist, I probably wouldn't last long if I didn't have three or four friends like Brother Randy. And the reason he and I are close is I loan him money all the time. That's the only reason. But are you listening to what I say? Every once in a while, my name will bounce up for one of these meetings and they'll say, Oh, Lord, ain't no telling what he'll do. We had Jack Van Impey in Augusta one time. They had their meeting. They was going to have him at the Bell Auditorium, and they had all the independent Baptist churches together. And they said, what about victory? One man said, they not Baptist. They're not Baptist. Old Carl Hayes spoke up and said, well, what are they? I know them pretty good. He said, they're closer to assembly. He said, half close to assembly. Well, I tell you right now, I seen that boy one night in a prayer meeting on the altar bark like a dog. And I'm going to have to plead guilty to about half everything they say. Because I have howled in a few prayer meetings. I have got down in the groanings of the Spirit. I have laid flat on my belly when I didn't know what else to say and just begged God to interpret what I couldn't say. He said, what do you mean? He said, they're charismatic. I never will forget what old Carl, it was told to me. Carl still don't know, I know this. Old Carl Hayes looked at him and said, you're just mad because he's happier than you are. He said, and by the way, if he don't come, I'm not going to come. He said, because I'm not going to have anything to do with a deadbeat crowd that is afraid of life. He said, he's not Assembly of God. He's fundamental. But he's just happy when he preaches and it bothers you. It bothers you. And not only that, I want to tell you, dead preaching will not keep church members. Don't you get so mad because one leaves. Preach, preach, and keep on preaching. Just stay in there. They said, all right, we'll ask him, but he ain't sitting on the platform. Carl Hayes was the finance chairman, and they let me count money in the back. And he stayed with me and another man. And we counted them independent Baptist dollar bills. The whole time Jack Van Impe preached, we came and sat down behind the curtain when he was given the invitation. I never seen him utter a word the whole week. I never knew this. I had no idea this little controversy was brewing. I was probably 25 years old. And I had 300 or 400 people out there, and we were sitting behind that curtain, and I was just rejoicing, giving God the glory. He said, I see that hand. I see that one. Come, son. Come on. Here they come. Dozens down the outer aisle. Here comes some down the middle aisle. Before I knew it, I was standing up behind that curtain, waving my hand, saying, glory. Couldn't nobody see me but Carl Hay. I was having a time. I started one time to run through the curtain. But I just danced alone. Every one of those people are gone. I'm the only one out of that whole crowd that's still in that area and for the most part still preaching. I'm not saying that because I'm glad. I'm just saying that for this reason. Anybody who wants to interpret somebody else's dance may find themselves in a lonely no-step before it's over. You be careful how you respond to joy. You be careful how you interpret somebody else's happy. And just admit that you aren't and get happy. And then you can just join hands with them and dance together. Then look, lastly, look, well, let me ask you this. Have you been interpreting? Have you been interpreting? My wife told me if I ever shouted at that church, she would. Why don't you go ahead and help her? Let her. You might as well take a stand somewhere. My wife is almost Presbyterian. I've never heard that woman shout except when I said you can go to the mall. She'll do by. I believe she spoke in tongues one Saturday afternoon when I gave her $100 more than she asked for. And she just, woo, off to the mall. I thought she had gotten the Holy Ghost. She's not going to do that. My wife, she'll clap her hands if y'all clap it. But she ain't going to clap her hand. She's going to sit, she's going to listen, and she's going to live, and she's going to leave me alone. Hello? Does that bother you that I say that? She enjoys watching joy. And you'd be surprised how happy you can become staying around happy. I don't criticize her for not doing it, and she's not jumping on me for doing it. Watch out. Your interpretation can lead you to barrenness. No reproduction. Then notice the intensity of the dance. I like this boy. Look at what he says. The intensity. Look at verse 22. Let's see what she said. Michael, the daughter of Saul, came out to meet David and said, how glorious was the king. Now here's how she was talking. How glorious was the king of Israel today, who uncovered himself today in the eyes of the handmaiden. Oh, this gal's got some jealousy. In front of the handmaidens of his servants, as one of the vain fellows shamelessly uncovereth himself. She wasn't giving him a fit about his moves. She was giving him a fit about his appearance. And the reason she had a problem was she had unresolved conflicts in her soul. And she was speaking out of her embittered heart. I tell you how you can enjoy other people's dance. Don't clutter your heart to where you can't do it if the opportunity arises. But notice as the conversation goes on, David said unto Michal, it was before the Lord which chose me before thy father. You remember your papa? God picked me over him. And she said, that's another reason I don't like the way you dance. Oh, my soul, you need to leave daddy at the house, ladies, when you get to dancing with your husband. Amen. Notice what it says. And before all the house, all his house, to appoint me ruler over the people of the Lord and over Israel, therefore will I play before the Lord. Verse 22, and I will yet be more vile than thus, and will be base in my own sight, and of the maid servants which thou hast spoken of them shall I be had in honor. Intensity of the dance. Hey, the criticism didn't do nothing but make him want to pick it up. I want to tell you something. When you got a good reason to dance, when you got a good old-fashioned salvation that came right out of the oven, baked by the hand of the Holy Ghost, and you got happiness down in your feet, and you got a shout and a jump down in your soul, and you can't help it. I mean, you just flat out like it, and you enjoy the good grace of God. It don't matter what somebody else says. It doesn't matter what somebody else does. Just pick up the intensity. If they want to judge you, give them a reason to. It was St. Augustine, I think. I was in middle Florida. Stayed in church till 10 or 10:30 and was trying to get home that night. I got up around St. Augustine out on 95, coming out of Daytona. And it was about 2:30 and I was about dead. Or 1:30, somewhere along in there. Just about, I was so tired, I was cleaning the curbs of the road off, helping the state out, just blowing paper everywhere. And the devil said, where's your shout now? Where's your thrill? Look out there how dark it is, and look at them people going by. They don't care if you die out here, and them people you just left are asleep. And guess what everybody at home's doing? They're asleep too. But look at you out here in the middle of the road, in the middle of the night, in a sweatshirt, wore out, soaked to your socks, screaming and hollering about somebody or something that somebody went to sleep over when you hushed. And he said, let me hear you holler now. He's sitting over in the side of the passenger seat. Old Slewfoot slid in. He don't slumber in the sleep either. He said, why don't you shout now, bud? Where's all that vim and vitality now? I went about 2 miles up the road. I almost had a feeling of melancholy. But I just decided right there on the edge of 95 to pull over and deal with him. I pulled over off the shoulder of the road, got out in front of the headlights, and just started dancing. Just praising God that I was a called preacher, that God would allow me to be up at 2:30 in the morning preaching the gospel, riding the roads for Jesus' sake. I just got out there. I mean, 18 wheelers going by. And I just waved at them. And I said, look at that devil. They're all enjoying somebody dance. They didn't know what I was doing. But I interpreted that they was on for me. Keep on dancing. Amen. You say, Brother Brown, you're lying. If I'm lying to you, little ducks, I just praised him,
thanked Him, shouted, gave God the glory. How many people was going by me with a crick in their neck? I got back in my car. I said, now, there's my happy. But you know what? Couldn't find Him. He caught a ride in one of them 18-wheelers. You know what will shut your critics up? Intensity. Now, you can quit if you want to, and some of you will. You can give up if you want to. Some of you will. Everybody ain't here that was here the last time I was here. And the next time I come, you may not be here either. But I want to tell you something. A sure way to hang around is when somebody wants to pick at you, you pick it up.
Amen.
And just keep rejoicing.
Amen.
Nobody will dance with you on 95. But Jesus. Nobody will dance with you at 2:30 in the morning outside with the headlights on you. Nobody, hey, everybody wants to testify with the lights on, but nobody wants to drive up and down the road in the middle of the night and stop at a Waffle House and drink coffee just to stay awake. You'll do that by yourself. But praise God, when the devil and his crowd don't like it, you just say, I will be a base in my own eyes. I will think I'm crazy myself. That's what he was saying. I will even be belittled in my own mind. But I want to tell you something, woman. And I want you to get this straight. I ain't stopping my dance for your interpretation. Now here's the invitation. Why don't you tonight decide, my husband don't come to church with me? That ain't no reason not to dance. Well, everybody else has come, so I don't care. What's everybody else got to do with it? Everybody else didn't save you.
Amen.
You see, what you're looking for is pity. What you're looking for is acceptance. What you're looking for is a social order down here. This ain't no social order. This ain't a hot dog and a hamburger stand.
Yeah.
This ain't the fair. This ain't the screen machine at Six Flags. This is the house of God where we worship. It don't matter who's with us or who ain't. But what'd you do if your wife quit? I'd pick up the pace. I didn't get in it because I was married. Got in it because I was saved. As long as you look at it like that, God will keep your mate and God will keep your wife from getting stupid as she looks out the window. What if you quit? I hope she'll pick up the pace and go on. Now you fellas listen for just a minute. Just because you're by yourself don't mean you quit. Because you're never alone. When you got the God of this book, He'll be with you. I preached when I was preaching alone. I preached when they folded their hands and looked at me like I'll kid you when it's over. I've been cussed out, thrown out, kicked out, and shot out. But praise God, I just pick up the intensity and keep on going. Because I didn't get in it for you, them, or they. I got in it for Him. How many of you get up and come and say, I don't care if I have to do it alone. I'll come and ask God to be my partner. I'll ask God to be my participant. I'll ask God to be that second party. Come on, teenager. Come on, mom and daddy. Come on, preacher. Come on, deacon. Come on, church member. How about it? Dancing alone. Come on. Fellas, let's bind our hearts right here in the middle of this platform. Pray for each other. Come on right here. Our Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for every man of God in this place. I thank You, Lord, for raising Brother Rye up. I thank You, Lord, for touching him. And I'm glad he just picked up the pace, Lord, when death tried to grip him and the grave tried to call him. I'm glad he didn't quit and he didn't get out and he didn't give up. I never seen him down. I never seen him complain. I never seen him bicker or moan about it. He stayed in there. And tonight, Lord, I want you to give us all a good case of tenacity. I want you to give us all a good old-fashioned case of stick-to-itness. And I want you to bless these men. I pray, oh God, all of them's personalities are different. And all of their temperament's different. And all of their character is different. But their God is the same. The Word is still powerful. And the calling is still fresh. And the calling is still real. I pray tonight, Lord, you'd not let us back up or back out now. Help us. For you're our God that is greatly to be praised and a God greatly to be honored. God bless your sweet name tonight, Jesus. Bless these good men, missionaries, evangelists, pastors, whatever. Oh God, turn loose on them and help them be their strength and power for Jesus' sake. Amen. Our Father, I want to thank you for this crowd of people. I want to thank you, Lord, for every woman that sits alone. I want to thank you for every man that sits by himself. I want to thank you, Lord, for every preacher that feels like he's the only one left with the troubles he's got. I want to thank you for the ministry of dancing alone. Help us be like that old boy at Teen Town. If nobody won't dance with us, we didn't come to sit. We come to dance. And I pray tonight, Lord, that you will help us to dance in the face of adversity and dance in the face of pain. Dance in the face of rejection. Dance when it's popular and when it's not. Because of the ark of the Lord. Not because of somebody's interpretation of it. Let our intensity pick up. When we're down, Lord, let us kick it into high gear. And we'll bless your name. As our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, would you just give me one more minute and I'll be done? I wonder if there's a Christian anywhere in here that didn't move. Now listen close. And the reason you didn't is because you hadn't got enough spiritual energy left to even make a move toward God. I mean, you're just about the way you don't care. Oh, you're saved. But you are so weary in well-doing. You're about ready to quit. You down in your spirit's willing, but your flesh has had it. Hello. I wonder if you'd say, preacher, right where I'm sitting, the only strength I can muster is a raised hand. I'm saved and I know it. But Brother Brown, if you'd pray for me, please. I'm a Christian. I know it. I'm saved. But I'm about as far down as I've ever been. I'm about as weak as a man can get and still come to church. And I'm just barely hanging on to a want to. I'm saved, Brother Brown. But would you pray for me as a saved man or woman? I'm lifting my hand up in this auditorium. I need help. God bless you, ma'am. God bless you, sir. Who else? Lift it up so I can see it. Way up, way up, way up. God bless you, sir. Who else? Way up in there. Way up in there. Don't be ashamed now. I promise you this. God will say, God bless you, honey, right here. I see you back in the back. Who else? Slip it way up and say, preacher, if strength is what is required, I don't have what it takes. I'm raising my hand tonight and asking somebody to pray for me. Do you have enough care left just to get your hand up? God bless you, son. I see that hand. You can put it down. Preacher, I'm just about shot. If the truth was known, and I told it, this whole crowd would be ashamed of me. I wonder who would lift it up and let me pray for you. I'm saved, but I'm not satisfied at this point. God bless you, sir. I see your hand in the back. God wants to help you. Is there anybody in here tonight? Say, Brother Brown, if I died right now, I don't know for sure that I'd go to heaven, and everything you've been talking about has been way over my head. But I sure would like to know that somebody prayed for my lost heart before I go home. Would you lift your hand up way up so I can pray for you in this invitation? God bless you, son. God help you. God bless you. Hey, there's more happy for you in Jesus by accident than there is in the world on purpose. You come to Jesus, son. You get up right now and come this way. I'll help you. Come on. I'll help you. Come on to me. Just get up and come. We'll take a Bible. That's it. Come on. Ain't no sense in a young man like you being without the Lord Jesus. God bless your heart. Who else? Who else? Just slip it up. And we'll pray for you. We'll try to help you. We'll try to give you something worth shouting about. You say, all I got's a crack house left. All I got's a dope pusher as a friend. I want to offer you a friend that'll stick closer to you than a brother, the Lord Jesus. And I promise you, you won't have to go to the crack house again. You can go to the church house and get what you need. Now, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, touch these hands that went up tonight as Christians. My basic ministry anymore is just to encourage the church. God, I pray tonight that you'll encourage that one that lifted the hand and said, I'm dancing by myself. And right now I'm about one lonely man or one lonely woman. I pray for them, Lord, that you'll touch them. You said the joy of the Lord's our strength. And the reason we've gotten weak in this movement is we've lost our shout. We've lost our joy. We've let people judge us right out of the arena of happiness. We've let folks be skeptical of us. We've quit. We've give up because they didn't react like we thought they ought to. Holy Ghost, help the church tonight. Bless the family of God. In Jesus' name, amen.